Within the heart of every human person, and in the memory of every culture, there is a profound nostalgia for paradise. The creation and origin myths of every people describe our beginnings as a time when God and humanity dwelled together as one. Our primordial tale in Genesis speaks to us of the peace of Eden, of that garden. And it describes the relationship that existed between the Creator and the creature. It says, in those days, God spoke to his creature face to face, and there was no fear. The Bible tells us that God walked in the garden in the evening to talk with his beloved creatures. From this oneness, man experienced peace within himself and with woman. From that moment in the primordial paradise, the longings of the human heart were properly ordered, and there was peace. The significance of that order remains with us. The basis of human peace is within oneself and oneself with God. But in the mythology of nearly every people, there's also an account of how the human creature fell from this state of peace. And it doesn't matter whether this took place at one moment in history, because for all of us, it takes place at every moment. There's something flawed in our hearts. There's a tragic misdirection of freedom which we inherit, reaffirm, and somehow continue to pass on. The Genesis story speaks of this condition. First is the break with God. At the sound of his coming, then there's fear, hiding, evasion, and shame. But even more saddening is the effects of this seen most clearly in the way man and woman turn on each other with anger and blame. In our story, he blames the woman, and she blames the serpent. You see, here at the beginning, it's the same as at the end. Division between human beings. No peace. The story goes on with anger, anguish, and progressive alienation. There's the murder of Cain and Abel. There's that treachery of Noah's son who exposes his father. There's the story of the Tower of Babel. It's always about man seizing by force what has been offered as a gift. But finally, Jesus comes. The announcement of his birth is a proclamation of peace. Remember the message of the angel to Mary? The first word spoken in the New Testament is, "Peace be with you." And then the shepherds come. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. In his life among us, Jesus reached across every barrier by the simple gesture of acceptance and by speaking the truth. He showed us that divine peacemaking was to be seen in his behavior. It was his unity with the Father that enabled him to bring that unity to human persons for one purpose, that they may all be one. The great mystery of peace is that it was accomplished by an act of violence. In this kind of foolish wisdom of God, something is revealed. In this weakness was his power to save. In this violence by which his body was torn apart, the man of peace handed over his spirit. Before his death, he said to his followers, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you." After his death, he comes into a locked up room, breaks through their fear, and says it again, "Peace be with you." And today, as he is ready to depart, one more time, he says it again, peace. We are to continue the peacemaking of Jesus by using the same attitudes, forgiveness and mercy and acceptance and reconciliation that he showed us and showed toward us. In order to do this, we've got to be at peace with ourselves. The peace Jesus leaves with us has little to do with feeling good inside, much less with assurances of a calm and undisturbed life or a successful career. The peace given by a crucified Messiah is not manifest in these trivialities. The peace of Jesus has to do with fidelity to the Father, with awareness that we are loved and accepted by God. Once grounded in this, then we can reach out to others in peace, because we're not finding our center in pleasure, possessions, or power. And so we have no conflict with them over the world and over the things of this world. Our center is with God. So we don't need to possess or to use others as assurances of our own worth. We're able to freely see others for what they are, children of God, and place ourselves at their service. Once we can do that, the possibility of peace is at hand. But without this basis in God, all the world's attempts at peacemaking are going to be futile. They all eventually break down because of the conflicting idolatries of human beings. Without peace with God, there can be no peace among us. Pay attention to what Jesus says. Peace is a gift. It's not something we make. It's not something we can enforce or something we can establish. It is a gift from God, the first and best gift that comes by having a relationship with God that is first and only. It seems to me that the only treaty that brings lasting peace then is a covenant with God. The entire history of this world is littered with peace treaties broken again and again. Not until we are at peace with God are we going to have peace with others. And when we do, we're going to have found again the garden in which a lion can lie down with a lamb and a child can play by the nest of a viper. And men and women everywhere will rejoice in being children of God.